Welcome to the brightest audience in the nation to the Bob Enyart Live Telethon. During our telethon, we're offering a free gift, Bob's video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, when you become a new subscriber to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month. And with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Enyart Live shows every month. By becoming a new subscriber to any of Bob's monthly products, making a new monthly donation of $20 or more, or a one-time donation of $50, you'll receive the video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, free of charge, special for the Bob Enyart Live Telethon.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney.
Hi, Doug.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
You're very welcome. We've got a lot of news to cover, so I think we should jump right in.
Well, there's more than we could ever cover, but has the telethon ended? Where are we?
We're at over $21,000.
Over $21,000, so we're just a mere $8,000 and change short from reaching our goal. So if you haven't yet, go to KGov and subscribe. To one of the monthly programs,
that
the Bible
so
studies.
Helpful, or a one-time gift.
The sermon, or a one-time gift of roughly $8,000 or so.
Well, yeah, or 50.
And it would end.
That would help.
You know, there's, just jumping into the news, there's going to be a new show on ABC television.
Yeah.
And it's allegedly mocking Christianity. But before we get to that.
Well, ABC is anything but Christ, right?
Okay. Well, I hadn't thought about that, but I want to talk about Pat Robertson. Would that be okay?
Yeah, it's a sad topic, but yeah, go ahead.
ABC's gearing up to openly mock Jesus Christ and his gospel and his followers.
Right.
Primarily his followers.
Right.
If I read the story correctly. And I just want to interject some Pat Robertson news.
Before we talk about that TV show.
Yeah, before we talk about ABC and their descent into the pit of hell.
Yeah.
Let's talk
with
about
jet rockets.
With jet rockets. Let's talk about Pat Robertson. He's come out in a recent interview. This is from the Salt Lake Tribune. And he says, number one, he wants to decriminalize marijuana.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, you know.
Right? For everything else he's advocated, he defends China's forced abortion.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He told the guy whose wife had Alzheimer's, who's committing adultery.
Oh,
remember
on the
that?
Air. I remember. On
this
the
is
air.
All. This is last year. He said he should divorce her, his sick wife, so he could start a new life. With the adulteress that the guy is having an affair with.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, he endorsed pro-abortion Rudy Giuliani, pro-homosexual marriage.
Yeah.
He supports Romney. I mean, Pat Robertson is a basket case.
Well, we've got to hope that it is Alzheimer's because, you know, then at least he would have an excuse.
You could hope it was.
I think when you reach a certain age, you should probably just retire and just get out.
Well,
you know, the guy's obviously...
I don't know that that's a logical
he's failing
inference
mentally.
From Pat Robertson's sin.
Shouldn't someone on his staff
no.
say, Pat?
Yes. Yes Pat, to that. Yes to this.
Pat, you're obviously failing mentally because you're saying things that are in
complete
disagreement.
You know what? I think he's failing spiritually.
Yeah?
I think he's immoral.
Well, see, that would be a lot
worse. I think he's a lifelong thief and a criminal.
Ooh.
He, for years, consistently comes out with the most immoral statements and irresponsible, spiritually bankrupt positions that he's taken all these years. You know, lying to his audience for years saying, I only take a $50,000 annual salary while he and his son were acquiring hundreds of TV stations, which they sold for billions of dollars, which they own personally.
Mm-hmm.
So they became billionaires through lying. And more power to people who become wealthy, but not by fleecing the flock.
Right. You shouldn't be lying about it.
Right.
Yeah. Not only does he want to decriminalize marijuana, But he says that the tornadoes that we just had go through the Midwest, the devastating 40-some people dead so far, including that little baby you talked about on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Really sad. He said that those could have been avoided if enough people had been praying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's test that. Didn't a lot of people pray when a catastrophe is coming? Maybe it's a mechanized army, or maybe it's a hurricane.
Mm.
And it's coming, and everybody could see it's coming. And there are a lot of people praying, like with Katrina. That was some years ago now.
Katrina's a good example.
We have dear friends who are Katrina transplants. And, in fact, Denver Bible Church is in the process of planting a church outside of New Orleans now.
Awesome.
From some of the Katrina transplants who came up to Denver for a while.
Well,
now they're
exciting.
Headed back there to start a church. Praise God.
So there'll be some more praying going on. Now, I think your mechanized army is a better. Let's imagine it's September 1939, and you're living in Krakow, Poland, where you can't toss a rock in Krakow without hitting a church. 1939, there's a lot of Christians in Krakow. And the German army crosses the Polish frontier. For how many days did everyone in Krakow get on their knees and beg God to stop the Germans?
Mm.
And I think six days later, the Germans utterly destroyed Poland and captured the capital.
And how about with Katrina? I mean, the hurricane is being charted.
In New Orleans, I don't know if there was as many Christians praying as there was in Krakow. That's all.
Right.
But you're right. There were a lot of people on their knees in New Orleans praying.
And around the country, praying for their family members.
Absolutely. Do you remember in the 2 days prior to its striking, people were terrified because it was a Cat 4 or 5, and it looked like it was going to be a direct hit. And I remember the night before, it kind of took a little bit of a turn and kind of calmed everybody down. But boy, we were all terrified for that 48 hours leading up to when it hit.
And remember the levees broke and the conspiracy theorists who thought that the government went...
Dick Cheney was down there.
Did it on purpose.
Uh-huh.
But the reason the levees hadn't been repaired in decades, when they were known to be defective...
Oh, yeah, the Army had reported on that.
...was because the government spends billions of dollars on all these immoral social programs.
Yeah.
And so the government doesn't do what it should do, which is infrastructure and proper criminal justice and...
Now, that's a research project. That's a research project for my other brother, Daryl. If we want to look at how much money did the government expend providing birth control to women in the greater New Orleans area over the last 30 years, and could that have been enough money to repair the
levees? Replace Rush Limbaugh's advertising revenue that he lost.
Hey, I think it's hilarious that their stock collapsed. Who was that?
That was Carbonite.
Carbonite,
Well, it is hilarious.
I love
that. You know what? We're way off of the ABC show, but...
We're going to get back to that.
Rush Limbaugh, you know, what he said was utterly despicable.
Now, which part?
Well...
All of it?
Well, some of it was true.
Yeah.
But Rush is becoming so sexually immoral.
I've been noticing that. He kind of says things that creep me out.
I listen to Rush Limbaugh maybe 10 to 15 minutes a month.
Yeah.
And you can't turn on his show without him making jokes about genitals.
Yeah,
and
some innuendo, double entendres.
And women.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You can't do
What's
it.
What's up with that?
So what he said about this young woman and him, basically, was it came out of him. Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, that makes him unclean. It's what proceeds from his heart.
Right.
This wasn't because he's on the air 15 hours a week and you slip sometimes.
No.
This is because this is what's in his heart and came out and it was disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. That part was.
And he apologized, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
He should.
He should. Yeah.
But Sean Hannity, Doug, Tuesday night, he was just lamenting the fact that there's a double standard between Rush.
Yeah, that's about right.
And let's say Bill Maher.
Okay, let's say there's a double standard.
Right? Bill Maher is as vulgar and filthy and misogynistic and demeaning toward women as you can be.
And we have all that on record. Yes,
right.
Indeed.
And you know him. I know him. You've been on his show.
We've met that little pig-eyed heathen.
We have.
Oh, I tell you what.
And there's a double standard. The media doesn't care how disgusting and vulgar and demeaning he is toward women, especially women that he disapproves of.
Yeah.
They don't care, and he gives $1 million to Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And if Rick Santorum's supporter says one stupid, off-colored joke...
One silly joke, and it... Yeah.
Then it's Santorum's fault, but Bill Maher gives Obama $1 million to a super PAC, And it doesn't matter, even though he continues with all this misogynistic talk.
And Sean Hannity was upset a couple nights ago.
There's a double standard.
Well, no, Sean's wrong. There's not a double standard. It's just that on the right, we have a standard.
Right.
And on the left, they just don't.
Right.
And isn't that the way it should be?
Well,
isn't
sort
that the
of.
Way it must be?
Sort of, Doug. For 20 years on the air, when the topic comes up, I say, I'm thankful there's a double standard.
Amen.
We don't want to be held to their standard, which is that we're just all animals and they can't talk without referring to human waste and reproduction and genitals. Mm. They can't talk. When you're in these chat rooms with liberals, atheists, and so on, evolutionists.
Yeah. Heathens, unwashed.
They cannot talk without referring to defecation.
Yes.
They cannot do it. They're incapable.
Because deep in their black little hearts, they understand the exact nature of their arguments, and they can't help but refer to it.
They're animals, because animals are all about what? Bodily functions.
Pretty much. What else are you doing
as
an animal?
Eating.
That's the highlight of your day.
Eating, reproduction, and relieving themselves. That's it. And that's really the context in which they communicate.
Yeah.
Outside of that, they're very uncomfortable.
They run out of arguments quickly. Now, before we move off from the Rush Limbaugh issue, I am a little bit upset at the right. I don't want to call them the right because I think they've moved too far left to be called the right anymore.
Right.
But the so-called conservative talkers are all lamenting the fact that the Democrats allowed the topic to be changed. We should be focusing on jobs. We should be focusing on the economy. We should be focusing on Barack Obama's failures. But we've allowed them to hijack. And they're basically saying that the Democrats have a right to restrict our free speech. And they're giving up their right to free speech. They're giving up their right to say that a girl who stands up in front of Congress and says she spends $1,000 a year on contraception, we can't say that she's promiscuous.
Of course.
And we can't condemn her in any way.
Of course we should. That's true.
We can't give up. We're not allowing the Democrats to change the subject. That's an important subject. Young girls, promiscuous, getting diseases and unwanted pregnancies. It's a way more serious issue.
And conceiving children and killing those children or raising them without a dad at home.
Yeah.
Which is the leading demographic indicator of that child ending up in trouble with the law,
absolutely,
with drugs, with on and on.
So these are issues that strike to the heart of families, parents, and children every day. Now, if you lost your job, you're worried about your job. I understand that you want to find a job. But these are the type of big social issues that a president should be expected to lead on. The president doesn't give anyone a job.
Right.
Except whoever he puts on his staff.
Yeah,
he doesn't make jobs.
Right.
Anyway, I'm very disappointed that we seem to have conceded that if the liberals bring up social issues, we should shut up and not allow them to.
Right.
I hate that.
And Doug, the Republican Party thrives on that.
Yeah.
It's not the left. It's the power base, the Republican elite, the money, the machine that wants to silence the Christian candidate.
Mm.
They want to silence them.
Yeah.
And so many Christian conservatives, pro-lifers, they just are blind to that. And they need to wake up. More often, we end up supporting the enemy who is destroying us. We just feel good about it. It's like making Pat Robertson a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
You know, he comes out against the death penalty. He comes out in support. He's against the death penalty and he's supportive of China's forced abortion on children. And this, by the way, the profile of him at prolifeprofiles.com, they had 14,000 visits in January.
Wow.
This has become a popular
site
for people to get the true scoop on our Christian and political leaders and groups.
And Pat Robertson is tier 4 personhood never. He doesn't believe that the unborn child has an inherent right to life granted by his creator.
Right.
And unalienable by the government. Pat doesn't agree. Well,
that's
why it's so easy for ABC to launch a show like this.
Yeah.
I can't say the name of the show because it's vulgar. Mm. It's a new show and it's a good Christian something or other and it makes fun of Christians and Christianity. And I got this story from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, of which I'm a member.
Yeah, cool.
And they lament the fact that it is becoming publicly acceptable to demean Christianity. Mm. And I
Wait, becoming?
That's the only part I didn't agree.
That is funny. It's like they arrived to that observation about 40 years.
I know.
Too late, and maybe a couple thousand years too late.
So I think the folks at Homeschool Legal Defense Association, they've had their nose to the grindstone, focusing on homeschooling.
They didn't realize
that
it's been open season on Christians for decades.
Yeah, how bad it's gotten.
But it is bad, right? This ABC show mocking Christians. It's part of Hollywood, like Black Beauty. There's a movie, Black Beauty.
Okay. Isn't that a horse book?
Decades ago.
Yeah. I remember that.
And this family was cruel to this horse. Couldn't be more cruel.
Right.
You just want this family punished.
Mm-hmm.
And in their barn, they have a huge sign. It has three words on it. In a horse stable.
Yeah. What are the three words?
God is love.
Oh, wow.
God is love.
And they're the bad guys in the movie.
They're the bad guys. The family that you despise because of how wicked they are.
Uh-huh.
And the Bible says that a just man is not cruel to his animals.
Right.
Absolutely. Of course not. You don't intentionally torture animals.
No way.
I mean, you should be nice to them and hunt them, kill them, skin them, cook them, eat them.
But do it quickly. Don't inflict any unnecessary
pain. And do it in Christian love.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this show,
so was
ABC,
that the Black Beauty? Wasn't that a Disney product?
I
think it was a Disney
product. That particular
product.
Movie, no. But they've got their fair share of filth and hatred that they produce
ABC,
for kids.
I believe ABC is owned by the same parent company as Disney.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be owned by the same parent company that owns PepsiCo. I don't know. They're all kind of conglomerating. All the
ABC and Disney are owned by the same conglomerate that owns Ellen DeGeneres.
They rent
the diabolical
studio.
It's this kingdom of Satan.
Yeah.
So this show out by ABC, it's against Christians. It's bad. It's ugly.
But we make ourselves such easy targets by putting people like Pat Robertson up as if he's some kind of Christian leader, and it's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it's no wonder the heathens at ABC find it easy to mock and reject not just Christians, but they mock and reject Jesus Christ. A lot of times I think
because
it's aided and abetted
by
the foolishness of people like Pat Roberts.
Yeah, Christ is the stumbling stone, the rock of offense. We should not be an unnecessary rock of offense.
Amen.
Let them get offended by him because of how holy he is,
right.
Not by us because of our sinfulness and our hypocrisy or our greed.
Yeah, amen. I couldn't agree more. Now, speaking of foolishness, Bob, this is from the Justice File. There was a young man in Cranston, Rhode Island, 17-year-old driver, driving on a suspended license. He crashed the car.
Oh, no.
Three passengers in the car were injured. One was in a coma for weeks. It was a very serious situation.
Oh.
Thankfully, no one died.
Mm.
Well, the young 17-year-old man was brought before the judge, and the judge has suspended the boy's license for life.
Oh, wow, for life.
Suspended it for life, he says. The judge said it was the most strict, most drastic penalty this court can order.
Yeah.
And he suspended this kid's license
for
life.
You know, that's a good symbol of what happens in our justice system. Because we don't have reasonable punishments, we get extreme, we get frustrated. Now, this kid, here's a prediction.
Okay.
His life, he's going to get worse, and he's going to harm more people.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously has a problem with alcohol, drugs,
more than likely something like that's involved. Yeah.
Right. It's like the atheists and evolutionists we debate on forums.
Uh-huh.
They cannot think clearly. They just can't do it.
I would agree.
I think they're living out their worldview. They probably drink, they smoke pot their whole lives. They just can't think. This kid is probably, he abuses alcohol or drugs.
Yeah.
This is going to ruin his life even further, and he's probably going to harm more people and himself, those around him. You know what should happen in situations like this? We should have punishments like physical punishments, like corporal punishment, like flogging, for example.
Sure.
If this kid would have been flogged early on in his first crime, he probably would have straightened up.
Sure.
Now he's injured other people. This judge is frustrated. What's a liberal to do? So this punk kid now, his entire life is ruined. Mm. He's lucky nobody died.
He's very lucky nobody died.
Because then he should have been put to death if somebody died.
And this judge has now imposed a sentence that will only mean festering anger and resentment building up in this young man's heart.
Right, exactly.
Because on its face, no matter what the 17-year-old did, he knows that this is an unjust punishment. He knows it, and he happens to be correct. Mm. And you don't want to give a criminal a point to make against the judge.
Right.
You know, it's like America and the Muslims. We give them so many openings with all the wickedness that we promote, the child killing and the pornography. It gives the Muslims an argument. And here's a kid now who's obviously, he's an immoral punk.
Right.
But he's got a point to make against the very judge who's supposed to straighten him out.
Right.
And you know, you said if he'd have been flogged. Yeah. In his very first, you know, if his mom and dad would have flicked his fingers when he was 9 months old and taught him some discipline, that could have changed
everything. Train up a child. If they would have trained him.
Yeah.
Right. But there's a jihad against spanking in America.
Yeah.
And kids are in meltdown. The nation is in a moral meltdown.
Amen.
That's why we need leaders, including our presidential candidates, to be taught the principles like the right to life.
Yeah.
To be taught them clearly and so that they could affirm them, so they understand them.
You know, and the personhood movement, I think, is a natural outgrowth because there are still people who really believe in God, who really believe he's real and want to teach other people about him.
Right.
The frustration of the last 30 years has caused the personhood movement to happen.
Yeah.
And now we're trying to educate political leaders
that
there is an inalienable right to life inherent.
All right.
And they haven't been... Now, more justice news. You remember Anders Behring Breivik?
Yeah, in Norway, the murderer.
Yeah, he killed 77 people.
The one they said immediately was a Christian.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And he said such anti-Christian things.
Right.
Well, that's the media, though, right?
Of course.
Of course.
Well, there's a good chance he's never going to even go to jail because the prosecutor has written that Breivik would be tried as someone who was considered insane. This would mean he'll be sentenced to a psychiatric ward instead of a prison. He certainly won't be executed. That's not even on the list of possibilities for Mr. Breivik.
So mass murderers could go to Norway if they want a good deal.
If you really feel like you have to kill a lot of people, Norway's the place to go.
Right.
It's like a vacation advertisement for them.
Right.
For Norway. Okay.
Yeah. And the death penalty, the Bible says that if you do not execute those who deserve to die, then you are profaning God. You're disobeying God.
That's right.
God says, do not profane me by keeping people alive who should not live. And the New Testament is filled with support for the death penalty. We have that DVD,
Amen.
God and the Death Penalty.
God and the Death Penalty. And if you order it today, it will go toward our telethon. We only need $9,000 more to reach our goal.
8,000 something.
Eight and change.
Yeah.
So order a copy of God and the Death Penalty. Now, speaking of... Speaking of the death penalty, let's go from Norway to Holland, which I don't think they call it Holland anymore, right? They call it the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Is that right? So in the Netherlands, you know, they passed a law legalizing euthanasia.
Yeah.
And so now there's an organization over there. It's called the Dutch Association for a Voluntary End to Life. Now, this organization has 130,000 members there in Holland.
Wow.
Now, let me just point out that unless they're all hypocrites, membership should be at zero in just a few decades.
Right.
It's 130,000 now, but you got to figure, unless they're hypocrites,
it's the euthanasia group.
It should drop. Well, they have now organized and dispatched mobile euthanasia units. This is a euthanasia van.
It pulls up to your home.
Yep.
Hey, these are coming soon to a neighborhood near you.
To a nursing
home. Portland, Oregon might have
it.
To nursing homes especially,
absolutely.
Right? Hospitals?
Because
what do they do with this?
Well, apparently
mobile
in Norway,
unit?
If you want to commit suicide, your doctor is not yet obligated to help you. The government of Norway
What a
has,
shame, huh?
Yeah, they have not
what
yet.
What an absolute shame.
So doctors can opt out.
Yeah.
They're not obligated to kill you. So if you've requested an end to life, you can fax a request over to the Dutch Association for Voluntary End to Life. And if you meet strict criteria, they will dispatch the mystery machine when Scooby-Doo and all of them will come with the death machine. And they will kill you at your convenience in the comfort of your own home.
Strict criteria like Jack Kevorkian, remember, who's now dead.
Yeah.
Himself, Dr.
Death. Yeah, I remember.
Dr.
Yeah,
Death. Jack the Dripper.
Yeah.
And he, if you recall, he was killing only lonely old women.
Sure.
I mean, he killed only women for a long time.
Yeah.
And that was pointed out. So then he got some guy who was sick, but the guy panicked and wanted Kevorkian to stop. And Kevorkian, in his own handwritten bedside notes, said he stopped and then calmed the guy down. And then he started to administer the poison again. The guy panicked and Kevorkian stopped, calmed him down third time, started to administer the poison. The guy panicked and it was too late and he killed him.
Mm.
And so that was a good example of Kevorkian. He's doing this because he's serving these people.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he has a lust to kill the innocent as an expression of his rebellion against God. That's why people support euthanasia. God said, do not kill the innocent. And they say, oh, yeah, watch us. Mm. When we have a good reason, I'm going to kill grandma if I have a good reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And they shake their fist at God, and he says, don't. And they say, just watch me.
That gets to the heart of the matter. I mean, people always ask why. It usually has to do with rebellion against God.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that when the euthanasia laws were passed, the strict criteria involved a board of doctors to all agree. Well, obviously, in this case, the person's own doctor won't do it. Shouldn't that mean maybe it shouldn't?
They've begun euthanizing people with Alzheimer's who obviously can't give consent. They've begun euthanizing infants, babies who are born. The Journal of Medical Ethics over in England just published a paper arguing that it should be legal to kill babies after they're born.
Yeah.
Doug, we did this on this show back in the 90s. The New York Times ran a 3-page article saying it should be legal to kill babies in the first month of life for any reason. And we still sell that DVD where I read the whole article on the air.
Yeah.
Right? The New York Times and infanticide. So now it's in the Journal of Medical Ethics. These doctors arguing, these are leading doctors saying, look, a baby is not a person. You should have the right to kill a baby for any reason whatsoever. Mm. And they're saying it's exactly like abortion. It's simply a postnatal abortion. It's a late-term abortion. I guess killing George Tiller, the abortionist in Wichita?
Yeah, Tiller, Wichita. Yeah.
I guess that was just a very late-term abortion.
Very postnatal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Bob, it's really sad to point out that it's the pro-life movement in America, because there pretty much isn't a pro-life movement anywhere else. There pretty much isn't.
Hardly
at all.
Yeah.
The pro-life community in America for the past 30 years has lost sight of the idea of the inalienable right to life and that the child is a person, and having abandoned that now for a generation.
Yeah.
The prophetic witness that you made to the New York Times back in the 1990s, some 15 years ago, is proving to be just that, a prophetic witness, a warning across the decades.
Right. And of course, this is coming here. And was it Portland, Oregon, where the woman asked her health insurance to cover treatment for cancer?
Yeah.
And they turned her down. They sent her a letter. The letter's on the internet. And they said, well, we can't do that, but we could pay for you to be euthanized.
Right. They offered to cover the cost of the drugs.
How's that one? And death panels are not coming?
Oh, they're
coming. Come on, we've killed 55 million children in abortion, and now the government is going to pay for your health care, and the government's not going to decide who's going to get killed. Mm. And Mitt Romney didn't already do this in Massachusetts with health care reform that pays for even late-term abortion on demand?
He did it. And this is the only media outlet that I'm aware of that 15 years ago was warning us about this. That's why it's important to keep Bob Enyart Live on the internet for another year. We only need about $8,000, folks. Go to KGOV.com, donate, or subscribe. That's KGOV.com, and help us with the telethon.
Thank you, Doug McBurney, and thank you guys out there. Yeah, the website, KGOV.com. You can subscribe to our podcast, get it automatically on your iPod or whatever device, and help us out. 800-8-ENYART is the number.